listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Well, we got a good show planned for you today. A lot of Mustang talk. Hot yeah. Mustang takes.
It's a good show.
We get into it. We get a funny, a crazy McQueen story as it would pertain to Kevin Hart.
A little update on Michael Schumacher.
Mm-hmm. And a kind of difference between the good old days when celebrity was meant something and now
yeah.
you just pay people. Anyway, first I'll tell you about Continental OE Technology Series. If everyone finds weird things in their car, let's not find weird things in our cars. I clean my car out, man. I'll tell you what else you'll find in a car. Continental belts, man. Bet you didn't know they're OE in millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, BMW, VW, and GM vehicles. Continental is launching the aftermarket multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series, fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function for 98% of vehicles on the road in the U.S. and in Canada. Continental OE Technology Series, the multi-V-belt, the belt with the OE pedigree. And if you want to get the full story, find a belt that works for you, go to OETechnologyseries.com. That is OETechnologyseries.com. Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Judgment, get on, get on. Welcome to CarCast. Man, of course, it's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea.
Hello.
Over there. What's going on, man?
Oh, man. It's been kind of busy. Got some trips coming up, driving some cars. It's going to be fun. It's
going to be good. Talking to, just sent Caitlyn Jenner a bunch of Porsche pictures.
Yeah. You guys are best buds now. BFFs.
Now, you may think... standing next to Caitlyn Jenner is weird because she's wearing pumps, big time pumps.
Yeah, I mean, just giant heels.
Caitlyn's got big hands and is 6'6" in the pumps.
Yeah.
So you may think that's weird, but in a weird way, just talking over the phone is weirder.
Oh, really?
In a surreal way, just kind of hearing the voice.
Do you make like pronoun mistakes?
I did not.
Okay.
But the day is young. But I realized the pronoun.
You can still get away with like a, hey, buddy, what's happening?
Yeah, the thing about the pronoun thing is you screw up when you're talking about the person, but not to the person.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're just talking Porsches, and Caitlin's got the GT2. Took it to thermal.
Mm-hmm.
The GT2 is the turbo, right?
GT2 is the turbo.
There was the GT3 that was naturally aspirated. Mm-hmm. It's a little... My feeling is put the goddamn word, just put turbo on it. Just say turbo in there somewhere.
Yes, except now everything, it has a turbo on it from Porsche.
Oh,
and
everything.
They keep calling things turbo and turbo S, like the new Taycan electric vehicle. I've been yelling about this. They have the Taycan turbo, which is all electric, and the Taycan turbo S, which is just all electric. And they're doing that just as the different model designations of their cars now. So you can get a 911 that has turbos on it. You can get a 911 turbo.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get a 911 like turbo E hybrid or whatever. You can with the Cayenne, I guess, and the Panamera. I was like, they couldn't have come up with something else.
Yeah, we got a... every year they go down and at some point, I don't know, two or three weeks after Monterey, you get a... email, like it's kind of like what they do at Knott's Berry Farm when you go on a Big Thunder Mountain or something, and then when you're walking out of the place, there's some guy with a picture, and he goes, "Hey, you want to buy this picture? Yeah. You on Big Thunder Mountain?"
Yeah,
and you go, "No, but you have to because your wife wants the picture of you on Big Thunder Mountain."
It's worse when you go on a date, by the way, because then. You know, the restaurant or whatever, the flower, or if it is the picture of you on the date, now you're like, I don't really want it.
Yeah.
But what the girl you're with never says anything, yes or no. They let you make the move, and now you don't know what move to make. You're like, am I being a jerk? Am I? Do I not want this? Do I do want this?
I have a picture of me and my old girlfriend a million years ago when we drove her Hyundai. God, she had the cheapest Hyundai ever. It was a 4-speed. But it was new.
Yeah. If you say guess the cheapest Hyundai, I wouldn't be able to do it. But if you said most expensive, I could probably guess it.
That's a Genesis. What was like, hey, Max Pata, type in Hyundai, 1987 or 1989. It was just the box they made. And I remember...
They must have been pretty new in the U.S. Or,
I remember it
or
being
all?
The Hyundai Excel.
Probably the Excel.
Yeah.
One thing I recall about the Hyundai Excel is it just being a super little box. But also, you guys, Max Pata, you got to understand that shit box or not, if it was new, you were riding high.
Oh, yeah.
Because the people I knew were driving beater like El Caminos and shit from the 70s and stuff. If you had a new car, now, again... Stripped Honda Civic, 5-speed, no air, crank windows, cloth interior. But if that thing was a year old, you're the fucking hottest shit in town.
Oh, it's the best $7,995 you'll spend in back in 1987, maybe.
That was a car worthy of driving to Las Vegas. And we drove no air. And I also remember I used it once, and the clutch went out, and the clutch cable was gone. And I was like,
It broke or it stretched?
Broke or stretched. I can't remember. But I remember sort of thinking, I've worked on my Datsun 2000 Roadster from like 1969.
Yeah.
And that thing had a hydraulic clutch.
Right.
And this is 1989. And you guys are using a cable.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good sign.
All the Fox body Mustangs have a cable clutch.
Sweet. you're in rarefied air.
And my 93 Explorer had a hydraulic clutch.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know how anything works.
I don't know. Neither do I.
Anyway, what the hell were we talking about? So I sent Caitlyn Jenner pics of the Porsche.
Wait, you have two Porsches.
Maxipata may have it, but somebody took a cool picture. And they charge you for it, but I was like, there's nothing better than a good shot on the track, especially if they're down low and kind of have the access to it.
With other cars on the track.
With other cars on the track and kind of cool cars. Like there's a BMW and it's got its lights on behind me and it's got the Jägermeister livery.
Yeah.
And it's in the wide body.
Like, right on you too.
Mark IV, that's a great photo.
Because there's so much going on the track and the people, the spectators and the, it's great.
Yeah, we'll put it up at carcastshow.com.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. And I've had to kind of like constantly explain to Nate and the fellas at the other shop that's like when you're trying to whack together exciting car racing footage, going around the track alone does not achieve that.
Yeah.
And whether it's a still photo... Or it's footage alone doesn't convey that. A group, the shot looks so much better because there's cool cars and they're kind of all around. And it looks like you're in the lead when you're not in the lead and whatever. It's mission accomplished, right?
Yeah.
Versus here I go alone around this track. What?
Or in the car not doing anything, driving. You got to show some shifting, some action, the turning. Watch any episode of Miami Vice. You know how many times Crockett shifts during his little montage with Jan Hammer playing in the background? He shifts like 18 times in 9 seconds. They just keep showing movement.
So not a conversation I ever thought I'd have to have once, but I'm on my 17th.
Well, it's a good thing those guys just produce videos over there.
So it's a cool picture, and I love that BMW that's in that shot.
Yeah, where did this picture come from? Not from us.
No, this is a professional who takes them, and then they sell them to you.
Yeah.
And whereas when you say to me, you want to pay $17 for the big horn mountain. I go, fuck that. They go, you want to pay $140 for the Porsche? I go, yeah. Okay. Who do I pay?
Yeah.
Just, the other one has
just 140?
The other one has my kids in it, so I'm not interested. The greatest picture of all time is us at Disneyland going down like Big Horn Mountain.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying myself. My daughter's enjoying myself. And my son looks like he just seen a grizzly bear, like, rear back. Look at my son. Look at holding his ears and closing his eyes. And look at my daughter. Look, that's all you need to know about their personalities.
Yeah.
That's who he is. That's who she is.
Yeah.
She is having the time of her life.
Well, she sat in the front as well.
And alone or with a stranger. He is plugging his ears and closing his eyes and grabbing onto mama's leg.
He just wants us to be over more than anything in the world.
And listen, people say to me, like, what did you do to your daughter to get her that way? And what did you do to your son to get him the other way? It's like, I've done nothing.
Nothing.
That's who they are.
That's it.
That's exactly who they are. All right. So
you look awfully content.
I was having a good time going down that mountain.
Were you screaming on the ride or laughing at the boy?
I laugh at him because he's covering his ears and he's such a puss.
You're like, Sonny, pay attention. You're on a ride.
I like had a son and I was like, listen, man, every lesson I've ever learned, I learned from playing tackle football. And that's what you're going to do because you're going to learn every lesson from playing that.
Good luck.
Nothing.
No.
Not a thing.
If you're walking the dog around the neighborhood and you want to look at a nice property, but there happens to be a sign that says no trespassing, you're going in alone.
I'm going in alone. Sonny waits
is
right
not
by the
going.
Curb, stands by the curb and points at the sign.
You are not taking him with you.
Thoughts on Kevin Hart and that CUDA. And I guess in a world, not that I like government regulation on anything, but should you be able to go, I'm going to shoehorn this demon or Hellcat engine into this 70 Barracuda.
Yeah.
And then I'll just give you a lap belt and a bench seat or something, like no cage. You know what I mean? Like,
the owners opt out of cage. That's the problem. Is, you know, Goldberg has his cars built. They're adding 900 horsepower to his modern day car with airbags. And he's like, put a cage in it. It's got 1,000 horsepower.
Yeah. So that's the Jew, not the wrestler talking. So what I'm saying, you know, kind of what I'm saying, if I'm building the car for Kevin Hart, I'm going, look, I'm putting a cage. It'll be a nice cage. You won't even notice it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to tack on $7,500 to the price of the car, but the car's $350,000.
Yeah.
And you're not going to notice that. And I'm just doing it.
Right.
Like, it's a fiduciary duty. Like, I've talked to lawyers. I've talked to, like, architects or engineers or whatever. And I've had conversation where I went, hey, man, just tell them blah, blah, blah. And those guys have gone, like, hey, man, I just can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, I can't say, I'm a lawyer. I can't just say things. You know, not even like, fuck you or I'm going to get into trouble. Just kind of like, I just don't do that. You know, you can't say to Drew, hey, just give me a prescription or something, whatever. He'll go, like, you're my friend, but I can't do that. As part of my job, I'm just not allowed to do that. And I feel the same way about a car builder. Like, I feel like if I'm going, I'm going to put 750 horsepower in your 60s era car, I'm going to put a cage in it.
Okay. And that's a good thing to do, but, you know, this is too much car for the particular driver. Now, which brings up another question I want to ask you about, but there's a lot of too much car for the driver, whether it's the driver every day or the driver late at night at Mulholland. Like, either way, you know, your skills change depending on your mood and road you're on. So maybe there's also a little bit of an education process to that, right?
That's the other thing, too. I mean, they finish the car and they just throw the guy the keys and walk away, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'd be like, hey, maybe on that MSD box, we pop in the 3,000 RPM limiter chip just for a little while,
right?
And then we up it to 4 or 5 until you get the feel for this thing or something along the lines of that. And then here's this the question is, they say Kevin Hart wasn't driving. Somebody was driving. He was in the passenger seat. There was a woman in the back. She's okay. They crashed. They were somehow pinned, either Kevin and the driver, or at least one of them were pinned, and they had to get the jaws of life and cut the roof off.
Was the car rolled?
It went over. It went through like a white fence on Mulholland. It went down a hill, and I don't know if it had rolled, but
it didn't look like it rolled. But it looked like they were pinned.
It's tough to tell because they cut the roof off.
I know Mulholland Maxipata really well. Like I'm curious where they went off. And a lot of guys used to go off on Mulholland, and they used to do a lot of races on Mulholland. And that's everyone in my high school. Not me. I didn't own a vehicle, of course, but the other guys would go up there on Friday nights and build and race. And you know what the weapon of choice was?
Ooh, on motorcycles?
No, in the automobile world. The guys who were building the killer Mulholland cars were driving 510s.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right?
And it's kind of like a Streets of Willow kind of car where it's a tighter turn and smaller car and not overpowered and...
Yeah, and
good momentum.
I mean, this is the handful of guys. I knew two guys or something. They were building like Mulholland racers. 510, and then I think one of the guys at a certain point went to a Mini Cooper. And he's like, this will get around even faster. And the thing that's crazy is I have no fucking idea what their parents were thinking. Like, they're like, these guys would go up Friday nights and race.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, don't be out walking your dog or anything happening. All right, so here's a question for you. They're saying Kevin Hart was the passenger, and now people are saying that's probably bullshit. He was the driver, and they switched. Okay, and realistically, you and a buddy go over the edge of Mulholland, scared out of your mind, whacking into things on the way, and getting hurt. Do you really go, hey, I don't know, an old buddy, hey, Ray, we need a switch?
Well, I think when Coldwater Canyon Road eastbound Mulholland, so we'll figure it out in a second. Famously, when Steve McQueen was in France for many months shooting Le Mans, and I hope you're sitting down. He's just basically banging his co-star. It's like 25-year-old hot chick, right? At a certain point, McQueen went out with his co-star and had his like assistant with him in his 911. It was like at night and it was raining. And Steve was doing some spirited driving.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he'd been drinking spirits, but he was driving in the rain at night. And his 911, in a spirited fashion, went off the road, like rolled the car or something.
Yeah.
Basically, the chick was knocked out. They didn't even know like if she was dead or what was going on. And the assistant broke his arm. Steve McQueen was fine. And like Steve McQueen like dropped the kid off with the broken arm, like at the hospital, and went like, hey, don't say anything. And then it's like, laugh. And then the next day, the guy just like showed up with the cast. And then Steve McQueen like walked up in the like makeup rooms, like, yeah, she's got a lump on her head. Like, you got to put some makeup on that. And she's like, the makeup guy was like, okay. And that was that.
That was that.
So
what about the car?
There's some precedent here for it.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. Steve McQueen, great guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But he'd punch you if you disagree with him.
Right.
But he was a badass. But he was a good guy. He was good as long as you didn't disagree with him.
Right.
Because then if you disagree with him, then he would punch you
or throw you off a cliff.
But heart of gold, man.
Yeah.
Heart of gold. Oh, when he wasn't punching people or banging chicks he worked with or
what a hero.
Breaking the arm of his assistant to tell him to go take care of it. Yeah. And he was like, hey, and don't say nothing.
Here's a little extra something, something.
I didn't even know. It's like, I got a broken arm now. It's like, yeah, tell me you slipped in the tub.
In the tub. Where's the car?
The car, he drove a 911 around France. I don't know, Max Pat, of that story. I don't know if we could figure out, like, the car went down the hill, I don't know who picked them up, or they, like, flagged down a motorist or whatever. That there's pictures of him in that 9/11 that's in the movie or whatever. But
yeah,
there is some precedent for, like, running off the road and telling people shut up.
Okay, so
here's the question, and it's something that Max Pat has got to do. Turn from southbound Coldwater Canyon. So let's say south. So they're coming up from the valley to eastbound Mulholland, which is heading left, turning left.
Okay.
Immediately lost control. So that's heading, like, if you're heading up Coldwater Canyon and you go left, that's where he lost it. Now, when you do the street racing, it wasn't in that part of Mulholland. It was down further. It was like a run of Mulholland.
Okay.
This is Cold Canyon, not Coldwater Canyon.
Oh, Cold Canyon. I thought that was just typo or something. Yeah. You, Cold Canyon. Well, now I don't know what the fuck anything
is. Yeah,
well,
I don't know what Cold Canyon is.
Anyway, there's Mountain Park. Well, anyway, that doesn't matter.
Right there. Yeah.
Here's
Mulholland and
Cold Canyon. Here's the question, Max Zapata. I heard that the driver had injuries that were consistent with, like, hitting a steering wheel and the steering column and stuff like that. Is that
right?
If that's true, then he was driving.
And I don't. I'm not buying the they switched thing. I think there was enough damage, or possibly pinned or injured or knocked out, that there's not a lot of we need to switch places.
Was the guy driving his, like, personal trainer or something? Or
I don't remember. I didn't see that. But look, if you're gonna switch the places thing, you do the McQueen, right? You go hide in the bushes. You call your security team, which he did anyway, and they brought him home,
right?
And then brought him to the hospital, right?
Right.
Like, why switch places? Why not be like, I'm going to go hide in the bush. I'm tiny. I'm going to go hide in the bushes. I'm going to call my security team.
His friend was trapped in the driver's seat. So, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Enough with that mystery. Yeah, I don't know. See if you can find anything about that McQueen story about him and crashing a car in France with his co-star and breaking the arm of his assistant.
I'm just curious, like, what does he go in the next day and go, hey, where's that Porsche you were going to loan me? Did somebody steal it and wreck it? I heard maybe somebody stole it and wreck it. maybe it's the kid with the broken arm.
Speaking of interesting cars, there is a Lambo 400 2+2 that's on Bring a Trailer.
Yeah. Ooh, where are we with that?
Well, the last I checked, we pre-taped this, but the last I checked, when you hear this, I think there's going to be about 4 or 5 days, maybe 4 days, 3 or 4 days left. It was sitting up at about $165. We'll see where it's going.
Oh, yeah. Where are we now? We're at 161.
With 7 days as we tape this, but as you hear it, you can do the math. All right. NFL college action continues. Head to betonline.ag to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account. Use the promo code podcast1. Matchups, week 2, Vikings at Packers, KC at Oakland. I think that's going to be a good game. Seattle at Pittsburgh, Saints and Rams. Come on, Rams. Philly at Atlanta. We've got $500 in rewards to give out each week to 5 listeners and 5,000 season-long charity contest. Join the conversation on Twitter at #SportsNetChallenge. My picks.
Are your picks based on your thoughts, Sonny's thoughts, or Cousin Sal's thoughts?
Mostly Sonny's. New England, I'll take it. Miami, I'll take Kansas City at the Oakland Raiders. I'll take Carolina Panthers at Tampa Bay. I'll take Baltimore at Arizona, or at home to Arizona. And Carolina Panthers are at home as well. And Los Angeles Chargers at Detroit. All right. Anyway, use the promo code podcast1. Receive a 50% sign-up bonus today. BetOnline.ag. I don't know if you heard, if there's anything you can find about that McQueen story, Max Zapata, but it's a pretty good one. I'll buy you some time if you want Matt to talk a little about Schumacher.
Yeah, Matt.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, it was just an update that came out recently, I think today as we record this. that, I don't know, maybe it shows a little progress with Michael Schumacher, which I'd love to see. He's reportedly been to a doctor's office, and the doctor's known for doing like stem cell research, stem cell injections and stuff. So I guess he's gone a few times or somehow was involved with meeting this person. And I don't know, it's been some years now, but and very quiet. You know, the whole family, everyone is very, very secretive about this whole thing. And I guess it's okay to speculate as opposed to put words in people's mouths and take away from his racing legacy, you know, but it could be interesting. And maybe we are at a time where something like this can show some progression. I mean, there's the Christopher Reeves thing, and that was so long ago. And now, where are we with
technology?
What
state is Schumacher in now, for whatever your best guess would be?
So for the long time, they were saying pretty much vegetable state, like with a tube and everything. And then there was an update, I forgot how long ago, a year ago maybe, where they were like, he was showing some movement, you know, like moving a head around or you know, more eye blinking, you know, something like that, which doesn't sound like much, but I guess any sort of progressive movement is huge.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where now they're, you know, do they put him in a wheelchair and bring him to a doctor? But as far as we knew, most of his treatments and everything, his daily care was being taken at home. You know, I mean, he's certainly have the resources for it.
It is the most cloaked in silence kind of injury ever, right? For this guy that is that big a name.
Yeah.
Because really no one has any idea what's really going on, and that's the way they seem to want it.
I'll tell you what, it's what the injury
year did
is,
he have his...
The injury is not overshadowing his
legacy.
Racing.
His injury was, has it been 10 years?
Yeah. I was going to say like 13, if I had to guess, 2013, but I guess it could be 10 years.
I used to do that all the time. And then I started thinking about Heath Ledger, and he's been dead more than 10 years.
Yeah.
And now I don't do that anymore. I add time on because I think Heath Ledger died 4 years ago, but he died 11 years ago or whatever it is.
The accident was in 2013.
Oh, nailed it.
Oh, you're good. Yeah. All right. And also, there's no updates or anything. So you just never know.
Like in 6 years, there's been like two updates. And none official.
Is They're the all Kevin through. Hart car going to be worth something? Because it is kind of so famous right now.
Okay. But also, this is not just any car. This is a Speedcore built car. Speedcore is the same group that's building Goldberg's cars. They did Robert Downey Jr.'s Mustang. And Robert Downey Jr. had them build the car for Chris Evans that was on Jay Leno's Garage. These guys build, they're getting all the heat right now, like, as far as like, because their builds are so great. The full carbon fiber Challenger. And so, I mean, I don't know that this car itself gets rebuilt because they cut the roof off of it to get them out. But I would imagine that something's going to be salvaged from the car and be used in some sort of...
But that's not what I'm asking. I'm saying it's pretty famous now.
Oh, so do the remains get... Yeah.
Look, the engine, I don't know what the lump is worth. 50, 75, 50 grand.
Yeah.
The lump, the engine.
Yeah.
Let's just say it's in fine shape.
Yeah.
Is it 50 grand?
It's not going to be that much. It's 30.
30 grand?
Yeah.
I can't get a fucking four banger built for a 510 for 30 grand.
What you should have gone with a crate engine all day long. You should have... So actually, I can't tell you the answer to this question, but I know the answer to this question. I was told not to say anything yet.
Oh, okay. What are they going to do with the motorbike? But see, my feeling is, you know, the James Dean car, James Dean died.
Yeah.
Nobody died.
Yeah.
But it's still a very famous car.
Yes.
And if someone wanted to sell it for 75 grand, you'd probably get your money back if you sold it at auction. I mean, with the dirt in it and the leaves and everything else.
Sure. Technically, it is still Kevin Hart's car, and he has a plan for it.
Okay. Oh, okay. And you know that plan.
Yes.
Why do you? Oh, you know the plan because you know Goldberg?
And the Speedcorp guys.
Oh, and okay. They're going to do something for charity or something, something.
Something, something.
Did you find the story?
Yeah.
You're lucky I'm not interested. People go, I got an idea for a reality show, but I can't say anything. I go, yeah, okay, good. You're so lucky. I wouldn't ask you anyway. So you're everyone's lucky I'm not interested.
Thank you.
But I am interested in the Steve McQueen story.
Yeah, so Steve McQueen, when they're filming Le Mans, his co-star Luis Edlund and him had dinner. He was driving her home from dinner, and he had his 21-year-old assistant in the backseat of a hire car.
And, a hire car.
Yeah, so
H-I-R-E
car. Like, just, yeah, it looks like just a...
Okay, so he wasn't in his 911.
No.
Okay, or we don't know.
No, we don't know. Okay. So he rolls the car.
But they're all three in the same car.
Yeah, they're all three in the same car.
Yeah, if it's a 911, there is no back seat. Yeah. He's just sitting up on a shelf.
Or the one with no legs.
Right. I'm sorry.
So he rolls the car, and then the assistant breaks his arm, breaks his own arm and takes blame for the accident. And the whole thing is hushed up. His co-star in the front seat never took another movie role since and went into politics. And yeah, it was very, very hush-hush.
Wait, so the assistant...
To the point, it's not even a ton of it's on the internet now.
The assistant went into politics?
No.
The co-star.
The co-star. Oh, yeah. Okay. I gotcha. I was like, because it's a weird, honest, lateral move.
They had to put... I saw it in the documentary. Like they had to put makeup on her because she had like a black eye or something.
Okay, but to answer the question that you were saying is he got the broken arm and he made him take the blame. You were driving the car. I was never there. She was in the car with you.
And I'm guessing if he's in France and he's leaving dinner, he may have had a couple glasses of wine.
Yeah.
Mm.
They
said they were sworn to silence because the scandal could have ruined the film.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I know McQueen is the king of cool, but he wasn't, I don't think he was a nice guy.
He's the king of douchery.
I really do think
you think Fondalier would break his arm for you?
Oh, my God. I fucking tell someone to clean their office. They're like, I'm going to sue you, dude. I can't even imagine fucking telling people. Yeah. I can't tell anyone I work with to do anything. I can't even tell. I forget about taking credit for me.
You know,
breaking someone's arm.
First of all, the giveaway is the car automatic or stick? Mm. As far as somebody taking the blame for you.
Oh, yeah. Because no one can drive a stick. That's right. Gary can drive a stick. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're going to be testing out the new Lambo Urus.
Yeah. So actually this weekend, I am going to Sausalito to drive the Mustang EcoBoost Performance Pack. And
that's the V6 with the turbo?
It's the 4.
Four
with the turbo. But they're taking the performance, sort of the GT suspension and brakes and all that and putting it on the EcoBoost. So if you want to have some fun and you know, do turbo upgrades and all the other stuff, you can still get all the handling and braking characteristics.
I've got to tell you.
And then the Lamborghini, yeah, next weekend.
Mustang have really made some strides, big time. And the thing about Mustang is they were good at the beginning, although let's not overdo it. Like you go to a car auction, see a 69 Shelby Mustang 350 and stand 8 feet away and look at it and tell me if you're in love. Like the fucking front end sits up 9 inches higher than the rear end. And like
every one of those fiberglass hoods are like bowed.
Yeah, I mean, look.
I mean, I like what they represent. They're cool cars, but the build quality was never
Mustang. First off, the notchbacks never looked good in any way, shape, or form. They were just not attractive cars. They worked, but they were not good looking. That only leaves you with the fastbacks, and that only leaves you with like 65, 66. I guess.
I mean, there's a convertible, but you're not including it.
Right. I kind of like the convertible. Yeah. I'll go with the convertible.
So you're fastback, convertible, notchback.
Yeah. And I leave a space and then notchback. I hate the way they look.
Pause.
Anyway, so then And you really only had like 2 years or 2.5 years, like 64, 65, 66, and then they went to different body styles. And then, you know, the Boss 302 was like kind of cool, but they just fucking completely, then they strung together like 40 years of shit. And I know you like all the junk, but I mean, just fucking antennas that screw on the front and fake hood scoops and fake brake duct coolers in the back and just fake plastic junk, everything. And in the last 10 minutes, they've totally got their shit together.
Yeah, they really have.
And they got their styling together. They got their interior together. They got their performance together. They finally just entered like the modern realm of cars. Like there was always like, you would look at a Audi and then you would look at a lower echelon Porsche and you'd look at a, you know, I'm not talking about top of the heap turbo, whatever. I'm just talking about sort of like, I don't know, like the Porsche. What's their little mid engine?
The Cayman.
Cayman, you know, early first gen or whatever, Audi, whatever, and a BMW M3, and or Mercedes had some offerings or something. And it's like, and then you'd look at a Mustang and you go, bleh. Like, why don't you fucking do some of this? Like, once you enter this realm and, they just never would do it. Like, they would still have the antenna on the front, you know, on the front fender. And it'd be like, why are you doing that? And they'd still like have a fake hood scoop. And you go, look at the Audi, look at the Porsche, look at the BMW, look at the BMW M Coupe, look at the BMW 3 Series. Like, they're not doing, look at the Audi S4, whatever. Like, look at that. Now you do that. And they'd go, no, we want big fat seats and fake scoops. And I'd go, why won't you join them? And then when you go look at that new Bullet Mustang you pulled up in the other day, it's like, oh, there you go.
Yeah.
They have joined car society.
It's aero tested. It makes good power. And it's, you know, MagnaRide active dampening and all the cool stuff. So we're going to see some of that in the EcoBoost Performance Pack.
Is that a 2.3?
Yeah, I think it's 2.3.
With
two,
the turbo three. Making 300? Yeah.
Over 300, maybe 310 now. We'll find out.
And so anyway, sorry, I'm sorry to cut you off. But if my son said, hey, Dad, I want to go look at cars, we would be looking at Mustangs now. Whereas in the past, no, we're not going to look at Mustangs because those are weird.
So the top of the heap of the Mustang world is the new Shelby GT500.
Right.
We saw one out front of the Shelby screening that we had in Monterey. They had that parked out there.
And also, I must say that even the offerings from Mustang, you know, circa, 2009 or whatever, it's like, this is the Shelby Track Attack. But they still looked weird. They were big and bulbous and kind of funky town. Like, they still had their old DNA in them. And they go, this thing's got 550 to the crank. And I'd go, I believe it all. But it still looks like chunky shit to me. Now they've leaned it out, man.
And this new monster of a car, I'm invited to drive the GT500 in Vegas at the end of October, I believe. So that's going to be kind of fun as well. But now it's like, it's full aero tested and makes big power and it's all track ready and it's got coolers all over it. And it's just got, you know, it's $100,000 now, but you know, with a few of the options. Yeah, you can get carbon fiber wheels and...
But it's I'll bet you that one.
It's going to whoop up on everything.
I bet you that one would hang with the Ford GT on a track. I don't say beat it, but I don't think you'd be embarrassed by the time you're done with that car.
Yeah.
Does that sound?
It's going to be interesting to get those performance tests done. Because already the GT350, which is naturally aspirated with the flat plane crank and the good engine, that thing scoots. That thing is real quick.
I'd be curious on some, you know, Willow Springs or, I don't know, Sonoma or wherever.
Yeah, it's all going to come out at October,
Laguna
November.
Seca. I would bet you that at Laguna Seca that the Ford GT wouldn't have much of a time advantage per lap on this new $100,000.
Yeah,
super
especially when
you
look at the price of one to the other. I mean, it's all about exclusivity.
I don't know.
Well,
I'll tell you what. I'll buy a few seconds. What is the horsepower and the weight on that car? And then we'll try to figure out the horsepower. We know the GT 350 is like 625. Yes. Like I don't know. You get the curb weight of both those cars and the horsepower of both those cars. I know that's not everything, but it's a good jumping off point. See if you can look into that.
Yeah.
Castrol Edge is what I'll tell you about. Stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Everybody, Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure. Keep the metal parts from robbing and rubbing and friction. Three times.
Fool.
I beat you. Three times stronger than leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. It's the edge, and it's the edge you need. It is Castrol Edge, everybody. So curb weight, I'll put MaxiPad on the Ford GT.
Okay.
Curb weight on the Ford GT, the new one, and horsepower. I'm going to go 635 and 3,450 pounds. Those are my two guesses on that. And then this thing's bound to have more horsepower.
Yeah. Yeah. The Ford GT horsepower, what did you?
I said 635 or something.
Yeah,
I think 685?
I think it's 6.
I have 647.
647, oh, okay. Yeah. And
all right, let's call it 650. 650, okay, 650. And curb weight is 32, 34, something like that.
I'm trying to find the weights. Chris can look up the weight of the Ford GT and then the GT500. They're saying the GT500 is going to be around 4,200 pounds with 56% of the weight over the front.
42 is a little heavy.
But
mm-hmm. Oh, the weight's only 3,000 pounds for the Ford GT. That's light. Oh, yeah. This is we're over 1,000 pounds weight difference.
Yeah,
that's a difference.
760 horsepower.
Ooh, that's
it's before you put a K&N air filter on it.
See, I'll revise that. I think the weight advantage would definitely help the Ford GT. I was kind of hoping this car would be under 4,000 pounds.
Yeah, the weight and the balance is going to be the Ford GT's, windfall. Basically, this car is going to scoot around the track.
Wait, you say windfall, a downfall, or
windfall? No, the Ford GT is going to be better.
Oh, well, why it's going to be better?
Yeah. Just because of the weight and the balance.
Right, right.
But this, the GT500 has a 7-speed paddle shift automatic, and it's supposed to be super fast, and this is how they're going to start to get and launch control and things like that. I think it's going to be fast.
Uh-oh.
Electronics are going to make it fast.
Hold on. This just off the wire. Remember when I said it'd be between 32 and 3,400 pounds?
Yeah.
MaxiPad has found a new site.
Yeah. This one's a little more legit.
3,300 pounds, which is right in the middle of between 32 and 3,400 pounds.
All right. So there's a 900-pound difference.
I was like, 3,000? That's light. That's light.
Yeah.
That's light.
Caused me to go look at it a little deeper.
3,300 is light, too. Here's my thing. 3,300 is light. I thought it'd come in around 33. I figured the Mustang would come in at like 37.5 or something like that. 42 is – that's a bigger chasm
there. I tell
you there.
What's happening is a Mustang does come in at like 36, 3700. But when you have to add 100 pounds of supercharger and intercooling, and then you got to add giant brakes and all
springs
and everything else, and I mean, you try to offset it with things like carbon fiber wheels and stuff. The Ford GT, like you're saying, is carbon fiber body, carbon fiber wheels, carbon ceramic, I believe, disc brakes. The EcoBoost six cylinder
Doesn't weigh anything.
Much lighter than the big V8. And,
supercharger probably weighs more than the turbo.
Yeah, it's got to be 80 to 100 pounds of putting the supercharger,
it's the intercooler. It's all in the engine.
You know, the air-to-water well, exchanger.
Two more rods, longer crank.
It's just like, there's just a lot going on. And it's much bigger, just the block and everything is going up. It's much bigger. So, but, you know, but enough difference between the two that somebody who has a Ford GT is going to say, I should get that GT500 as well and put it in the garage, right?
Yeah.
Let me tell you guys about Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off your dry cleaning. You pick up some milk. Now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. And you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Go to checkout geico.com.
All right. You can see us, and Moderator. I'm doing my podcast, Comedy Off Broadway. That's coming up. Is this Friday, would it be?
Yeah. A week from today. So, yeah, this
a week from this Friday. Yeah, this Friday. September 20th, do a live pod, kind of a early 4:30 matinee show there. So come on out and say hi. Uptown Theater, Napa, baby. That's such a sweet place. September 27th, I'll be doing stand-up there. West Palm Beach, yeah, we're doing a pod there. Go to San Diego, sold out. Love that. December 1st, man. What the hell's going on with San Diego?
No, at the Belly Up. I think Goldberg's brother owns that, doesn't he?
Yeah. Goldberg has some affiliation with Belly Up.
Yeah. I told Goldberg, come on down.
Yeah.
The Comedy Central roast is this Sunday, 10 p.m. over there. Crank Anchor's coming out September 25th, 10:30 on Comedy Central. Look at Ace Man. Woo!
Yeah. Jeez.
I feel like my family should be prouder of me. That's just when's a thought.
When's the Comedy Central roast?
That's Sunday. This Sunday at 10 o'clock. And what else? What do you got?
I hope you're in it.
Yeah.
Your stuff is really good.
I might get cut out. You don't know.
Next week, I'll fill you in on the Mustang Drive that we're doing. And then and the week after that, the Urus and stuff. But follow it, all my antics at Moderator on social media.
And check out Shift and Steer, available on iTunes, Podcast One, and support the show. Check out our website, carcastshow.com, and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, Carcast Show. We have, we put some of those pictures up there. You can check them out. And go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live show stuff. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Matt, the Moderator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Carcast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarcastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. Carcast is a Carolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarcastShow.com.